What's up, bitches? Brandon Lynette here, your host of the Listen Bitch podcast, and it's Microdose Monday. And I get it. We're coming off of Mother's Day, okay? And I already put up a post that was probably a little harsh. Some of you are going to think it's harsh, but I just want to slap the shit out of some of you. I don't know how else to say it. But listen, bitch, you're out here complaining because you didn't get a card. You didn't get a card on Mother's Day. Oh, and like we have this huge expectation. We want our husbands to do the things. Like, I'm not my husband's mama. Okay. I'm not. And if I had an expectation from him, if I wanted something, I would vocalize it. I would say it out loud. Like, I literally said, I need a new piece of pair of piece. I need a new pair of shoes. So that's what I'm getting myself on Mother's Day. And he was like, all right. No big deal, right? Conversation had heard, agreed upon, and that was it. I had no expectations on Mother's Day. In fact, I never do. And the thing that I ask for every single year for every holiday, birthday, Christmas, is legit. I just want to wake up to a clean house and not have kids fighting. Like, that's the dream. Okay. That's probably every fucking mom's dream. And it's a sarcastic, just, we know it's never going to happen. But I mean, bitch, it did happen for me. I didn't have the expectation. In fact, there was never a conversation about what mom wanted for Mother's Day. None of the kids talked about it. I didn't talk about it. It was not a conversation. And I did get a lot of things. I got a lot of things. I had no expectation. So I'm celebrating in that moment. But bitch, if you're feeling sorry for yourself because you didn't get something or you didn't have an act of service or no one said Happy Mother's Day to you, let me just tell you this. The first kid I saw on Mother's Day, because all my kids were sleeping, the first kid I saw was my 19-year-old at the restaurant she works at. My husband and I went for brunch where she works, okay? First kid I saw, and I didn't hear Happy Mother's Day from her until midnight that night, right? And I did not have an expectation. I was just like, huh, she didn't say anything. That's weird, right? She was just preoccupied. She had to work two jobs on Mother's Day. It was chaotic. It was busy. I didn't become a victim. I didn't cry in a corner. I didn't feel sorry for myself. Okay. Not a thing. Wasn't a thing. I wasn't a victim because guess what, bitch? You want to know what some child was doing yesterday while you were feeling sorry for yourself? Burying their mother. You know what some mom was doing? Burying her kid. This is real fucking real life perspective. I'm so over you guys wanting to be a victim. I'm over wanting you to create this narrative where you just feel sorry for yourself and everybody else feels sorry for you. Then you put up this stupid social media post where everyone's like, oh, honey, what did that do for you? Like, honestly, having all these people feel sorry for you or reach out, because misery loves company. Okay. But is that the world we want to create? A world of misery loves company. I mean, if we bring in all kinds of shit in this moment, yes, social media, big pharma, deep state, the government, all these motherfuckers want you to live in a state of, oh, I'm a victim. That's why we start all of these ridiculous movements, okay? That's why we are suddenly celebrating some guy with a dick who wants to dress up in a dress and pretend he's a woman, right? Or maybe he got castrated, doesn't have the penis anymore. Maybe he got some surgically implanted boobs and wants to celebrate being a woman and he's mad because not everybody respects that. No, motherfucker. Okay. I have a fucking period every month of my life. I have carried six babies to 42 weeks or more breastfed for at least a year and a half, up to 2 years of my life. That's at least 12 to 13 years of my life I spent breastfeeding a baby, okay? Every single month I go through this process where I feel the hormones coming on and then I get to have shark week where I literally bleed to death for, you know, 3 days of my life. That's not a great fucking time, okay? But I sure as hell am not going to feel sorry for you because you're not celebrated enough as a woman because what, you have testicle cancer? I'm sorry. Come on, you guys. Everybody wants you to be in a victim state. Everybody wants you feeling sorry for yourself because there is illness in depression. There's money in illness. Follow the cycle. Nobody gives a fuck about you. They just want you to be part of their agenda. Get pissed off. Get pissed off, okay? You know where racism exists? In the media. Sexism, media, all of it. It's bullshit. You're falling into what they want you to be. And I'm here because I want you to step into your power of who you can be, who you should want to be, who you were born to be. You are here to become a powerful creator in your life. You are here to take control, massive responsibility of your life. And guess what, bitch? Being a mom is hard as fuck, okay? It is the hardest job on the planet, next to being a dad, okay? If you're a hands-on dad, all right? My husband is involved, so I give him credit to struggle because we co-parent. There's two of us here, meaning, at least 3 nights a week, he has to figure out what the hell these heathens are going to eat, right? Not my problem. I'm going to work. I needed that break because I'm fucking human, because it is hard. But you're not going to find me wallowing in a corner and posting on social media about how depressing it is. Bitch, I will share my struggle. I'll share the day that I'm sad, but you're going to see me get the fuck up and move on. Anything I share that people are like, oh, it is not for sympathy. It is not for you to feel sorry for me. It's for you to see that I'm just fucking like you, but I choose something different. I choose to become a powerful creator of my life. And if I don't like something, I communicate it clearly and effectively. That's it. And this is where Microdose Monday can pop in, because part of my effectiveness in the past 2 years of being able to really truly communicate my truth. My truth. This is even like I'm talking to my mom again, and I've had some tough conversations with her. And I've spoken my truth. I don't eggshell around it. I speak my truth, because no matter what she thinks, feels, or says, my truth is my power, right? This is where I was in that reality. Okay. So she can't take that from me. I've healed it. I moved on. And I'm not afraid to have the tough conversations. I do it with everyone, probably everyone except my husband's family at the moment. And someday I will speak my truth, because it is, there's a lot of situations where we can be respectful without compromising who we are. And I'm in that space right now of just like being respectful, because I do honor and see their version. Of course, everybody has a side of their story, okay? And I can, I call it justification. This is what my husband does. He justifies things. That's how he has survived. That's a survival tactic. When you are justifying yourself or the actions of people around you, that's a trauma response, okay? It's a trauma response because of a million things that could have fucked you up along the way. It's literally a trauma response if you are justifying bullshit actions from people. And I can respect this because my husband has to grow through this too, right? It's we're a team, co-parenting, co-experiencing life. Like, it is us against the world, literally. We made a choice and we communicate through this process, and he can see some sides of it and some sides he can't. But that still wouldn't take away from my truth. And there are some truths that can be on a back burner. I get that. I get that. But communicate. If you have expectations from people, communicate. And that's kind of where I'm at. I have expectations. I think, I'll tell you right now, I do not believe in the idea of step family. And my husband came into this, I mean, from the day we met, and from the day that, we decided we were going to be together, which was like 30 days after the day we met, he's taking on 4 kids. And there was a conversation of like, I don't ever want you to be different with these babies than you would be if we had babies. I was pregnant. I don't with our baby. I don't want you to treat this baby that biologically is, connected to. I don't want you to treat this baby any different than you treated any of the other babies. It was a conversation. It was an expectation. I communicated it clearly and effectively, and he respected that and honored that. He's never been a step parent. In fact, Zayden is 8 years old and she's starting to question things, and I shut it down. I'm like, he's not their step parent. List the things that a dad does for their child. What makes a dad? Because I guarantee it's not sperm. And I guarantee my older 2 girls will tell you it's not sperm that makes a dad. Okay? It never is. So I feel the same. If you marry into a family, that family should be family 100%, and there should be no separate treatment. And there shouldn't be separate treatment for the 4 kids I have had in the 12 years of our relationship versus the 2 that we have added since. There should not be a different treatment. And I see that. I see there is, and I'm not okay with it. I'm not. And I communicate my frustration currently to my husband. And it's really bizarre because, I mean, they're very loving people, very loving people, incredibly loving people. And literally, if we called right now, they would do anything for us. And my husband calls that, like, pity action. They feel sorry for us. Pity response. That's why they show up when we need them, because they feel sorry for us because we're surrounded in kids. And it is just the two of us. We don't have a village, you guys, okay? So where was I going with this? It is the communication, okay? It is that expectation. I think family is family. Even if it's family you chose, that's it. We don't put a label on step parent. If you have a man that is showing up, providing for you, nurturing your kids, reading them books, cuddling them, feeding them, fucking paying their bills, all the things, that's a dad. That's a dad, right? So things I bit my tongue on, and it's easy for me when I microdose. This has been a godsend for me because not only does it help me to speak my truth without having an emotional response reactive to what they're saying. Okay. So I don't expect a response from people. And if there was one, I feel very secure and confident in my response because I just sit in my truth. That's all we can do. You can't control what other people are going to say. You can't control what other people are going to do. You can ask for the card for Mother's Day, right? You could say, look, I really want you guys to show up this year. I want some flowers. I want you to take me out to dinner. Communicate what you want. People can't read your mind. And if you're the kind of person who's lying to yourself, where you're like, oh, it's just another day, I don't want anything from anyone, but the truth is you do, and you just want to be surprised, you can't live your life in that space because who the fuck knows what twisted conversations you're having inside your own brain? Nobody knows because we are all different. We're all different. So stop trying to set yourself up to be a victim because this is what you're doing. I used to do it. That's how the fuck I know, where you're like, it's just another day, whatever. And inside you're like, man, they better do something for me or I'm going to be so pissed. This is fucked up. Nobody's going to give me anything and I'm going to be pissed off all day today. And that's what you do to yourself. This is me slapping the shit out of you, telling you to wake the fuck up. You have to communicate. Go for what you want and stop expecting other people to show up in an area that you don't even show up for yourself. Guess what I learned? If I have a day I want to celebrate and nobody comes through for me, you bet your ass I'm going to go buy myself a disgusting sugar-filled coffee that I don't even like coffee, but that's the thing, right? Like, we go buy ourselves an iced coffee, go buy myself some flowers or a fucking book or whatever it is I want. I will do it for myself and celebrate myself because I guarantee if you can't come to this position to celebrate you first, you can't expect other people to celebrate you either. And I'd be in that cycle of like, maybe I'm a bad mom, maybe I'm just doing it wrong. I still would get into that in toxic conversations with my kids of like, I'm just a bad mom. Bitch, I'm not a bad mom. But I had to come into that awareness to not give people that power to let me feel like that. And then I would justify all their actions or lack thereof to solidify that thought. That thought did not serve me. And that's what you're doing. You're having these thoughts that are not serving you, and you're continuing in this reckless dynamic of being a victim. That's it. Being a victim. My husband made it clear the other day, we're not victims. And if you bite your tongue, it's not hurting anything because we're just living our lives. If they show up, if they do the things, they're here and that's it. That's it. It's our life. It's our life. And he solidifies that for me. Giving me that space to know, like, I communicate to him, this is a frustration. He communicates back that I'm not alone in the frustration. But our life is about us. We cannot control what other people do. If my husband would have told me that 5 years ago, it would have been a full out war because I don't want to calm down, right? I don't want to be put in my place. I don't want to step back. I want to light the world on fire with my anger and frustration. Thank God for microdosing because my husband can literally say, like, what can we control? This is our life. It's our life. They're not a part of it. In fact, you guys, have I told you this story? I think if you read my book, Once Upon a Time, Bitches, and if you are looking for my books right now, if you're new here, I do have a lot of people coming into my space that are new. I know that because you're joining my Listen Bitch Facebook group where I post journal prompts. And just to let you know, this is a 5 day a week podcast, but we are going down to 1 day a week because summer is crazy and all my kids are here. But I wrote some books and I want you to go find them right now. You go to once upon a time bitches.com. You can find all of them, but I think I shared this in my first book a little bit, where maybe I didn't. I've shared it somewhere. My husband's family didn't want us to get married. Literally. I remember coming home from work. Well, first it was his mom and his dad are divorced, okay? I remember a conversation with his mom on the phone telling me not to marry him. She's like, "You cannot marry him." And part of this conversation was when she met me, she saw my Facebook post. Okay, I just came out of a marriage that was pretty religious. Not strict, but enough that people could be very aware of the religious side of Brandon. Okay, I was in a very toxic relationship with who I thought God was, and I did that because that's who I thought my then husband wanted me to be. Okay, so she's like, "You can't marry my son because he doesn't believe in God, and he's going to take you away from your relationship with Christ." Okay, conversation on the phone, and we had the same conversation face to face. And I'm like, this is not the God I know. God is love, unconditional love. And if my relationship was strong with God, no one's going to come between that. Like, my husband's not going to come to me. And never in the days that we had been dating, because we got married a year to the day that we met. Okay. And he literally proposed, I mean, the first night we met, but like the real proposal, I think, was maybe 3 months later. And in that time, he knew I believed in God. And in that time, I knew he didn't. In that time, I saw him for who he was. Okay. I've always been the person to be able to see people. And this is kind of a toxic response. And I don't recommend this for everyone. Okay. Because not everyone is like me. And I know that. I never looked at him like I wanted to heal him, but I knew that I could hold a vibration where he would always meet me. Even before I really knew what that meant, that's how I operated in my life. And I love little me for that. Like, fuck yes, Brandon. 10, 20, 30 years ago, I was still doing that shit where I didn't really know the truth about a vibration or the law of attraction or how God worked or what the universe would do in response to all of my actions. I never understood that until now that I look back, right? I can look back and I'm like, shit, you just knew. And I knew in that vibration that maybe there wouldn't be a place where he came to love God. And I could get that. You know why? Because his mom fucked him up. Because she was one of those toxic ass Christians who were like, "Do as I say, not as I do." And they would hide their shit before grandma came over on Saturday. Okay. So they would live one life and then pretend to live another. They were hypocrites. No judgment. But when you raise a kid in a life of being a hypocrite and you think God is just about hiding the shit before grandma gets here, you've done it wrong. That is not a God of love. Okay. God is pure love. He is love. That is it. Unconditional, non-judgmental, knows we all fuck up and we've been forgiven, right? There was a price paid for us. Literally. A price was paid. And nobody's going to be perfect on this journey. And then when you lead with fear of like, oh my God, the world is ending, you have to love him. Like, that's a government fucking social media bullshit. Okay. Yes, it's in religion. Abso-fucking-lutely. Because if you're trying to scare people into loving God, they're going to run the other way. That's what my husband did. Every conversation with her was like, oh my gosh, this is so scary. I'm sorry. If you really have faith and you really know God, I feel like there's this solid part of just trust. Yes, the world is imploding. Yes, it's terrifying. But if you really know who God is, you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear. We are guaranteed one thing, and that's that we're going to die. If you trust in him, what happens when you die? If you have faith, you know there is more. That is not the end. And then you start getting really mature in your research on this relationship with God. And you realize, like, this is true because energy never dies. And you start seeing the truth in all those things. I lived on that vibration. I lived on that vibration of faith where maybe he would never believe in God, but I guarantee he would respect and honor that I did. That's the kind of man my husband is. From day one, he was never like, your God is stupid, praying is stupid. I mean, we went through some shit even before he believed in God and he prayed with me. Oh, that makes me a little teary-eyed because it's a big deal to me. Okay, this woman tells me not to marry her son. And now, if you look at us 12 years later, my husband knows that that God is there. He knows that God is love. He knows that fear does not belong. You cannot have fear where you have to have faith. Those two do not survive together on any level of human vibration. Fear and faith do not coexist. Impossible. Impossible. If you know without a doubt that no matter what, you're always going to be okay, that's going to be your truth. If you live on fear, you're going to attract some scary shit, and God can't exist where fear lives. That's just not possible. It's not possible. And if we think about energy, we bring things into our awareness. We bring things to life when we think of them. That's it. Our acknowledgement brings in that awareness. So if you every day are acknowledging that there is a higher power, there is something taking care of me, something that has always drawn me to this space. I mean, my husband and I have come a long ways with each other, with ourselves as people. And sometimes, like this week, he got pretty caught up in where we are, thinking it's not enough and we're failing and we're drowning, and we're not. It's because we take 1,000 steps at a time. We take huge leaps. We don't tiptoe, bitch. We are like throwing ourselves to every next step. And I bring him along for the ride because I know we're always going to be okay. We're always going to be okay. But I look at where we were 10 years ago, and I promise you, then we didn't feel like there was ever a way out. We never thought we would be okay, ever. I mean, we were applying for food stamps, you guys. Like, it was a scary, scary time. Both of us taking turns getting fired or getting let go or just not being able to hold a job because we had kids to take care of and we just didn't have trustworthy people in our lives. We don't have the village. We couldn't find babysitters. We didn't want babysitters. It was a struggle. And I look at us now and like, we have the bikes that my husband has always wanted to have, right? We've got shit in our garage. We're feeding 8 kids without the help of the government, even though fucking prices are high. And I'm very tempted to be like, motherfucker, someone needs to help me with this grocery bill because I didn't vote for these prices. Okay. I did not vote for inflation. I did not vote for this fucking unit. I didn't vote for this. So the people that did, I feel like, should probably foot a little bit of the cushion of my grocery bill. Fuck yes, you wanted this, so help a bitch out. I mean, y'all think we should be making the same amount of money anyway, right? Isn't that what you think? I don't know. But anyway, so we grew. We're here. And we have really, we've gone through some toxic shit, you guys, okay? We have. And we're better for it. I really do think that. I really think that it was necessary. It was a necessary evil for us to come full circle where we are. This man literally, you know, before my C-sections, he prays with me when we're struggling. Like anytime, if he came home from work today, I'm like, babe, I really just need you to pray with me. He would be there 100%. Do we go to church on Sundays? No. I'm just not a fan of the religious space. Do I show up every once in a blue moon, like every 10 years? And I love it. Yes. But I feel like religion was created to hurt people. There's boundaries of rules of what they believe, and it sets you apart from other people. I can never understand why they said, my mom used to say Catholics were of the devil. And I couldn't understand because I was obsessed with Mother Teresa. Like, I thought she was amazing. I'm like, this lady just gives everything of herself and never takes anything for herself. And like, I just admired her. And I'm like, I can't believe she would go to hell. Like, that doesn't make sense to me, but that's the religious aspect of the relationship where God is concerned, is that there are rules and regulations. If you're Sabbath, if you go to church on a Sunday, you're going to hell. That's just it. The chosen people go to church on a Saturday. I don't believe that. I don't believe that we set the religious bounds of a relationship with God. I feel like if you know him, you know him, and that's it. You know him in everything you do. And these people that are out here with those, you know, rules and laws and regulations, and they're outing people because they don't fit into their box, that's a struggle. But I guarantee my husband's mom never would have imagined that he would be here. She was wrong. She was wrong. His dad wasn't about religious things. He was just like probably thinking, holy shit, you're about to take on 4 kids. Run. And I'm sure there's some days where my husband is like, man, I should have listened to my dad and run. But he doesn't really feel that at the core of who he is ever. I think no matter how bad things have gotten, out wasn't an option for us. Not even when we declared it. Okay. When there was a time where divorce papers were up and ready, you know, and we wake up the next day and we're like, no, okay, no, we take it off the table completely. This doesn't come onto the table ever again. It's not supposed to. Okay. We're still human. And maybe it has come out. Like, would this be better? Not out of anger, not out of anything, but like just self-preservation. Would this be better? Would it be better? And the answer is always no. So these people were against us from the beginning. It's been us. We cannot have that expectation from them. It is an acceptance, an acceptance. They weren't here for us. It's an acceptance. And I feel like, you know, if there is a level of healing and there can be a conversation, because I have had very honest conversations with his family and nothing changed. And that's kind of where we're at in the moment of like, what is the point? You know, what is the point? And so I don't at the moment have to speak the truth. And I am thanking the mushrooms for that. That's honest. I'm not reactive. I'm not explosive. You know, old me would have gone to, you know, when I see them show up at their convenience in a different space than they would have for any of my other kids, I get frustrated and old Brandon would explode and be like, this is, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know? And I still see ways where, you know, my kids, even the ones that she is biologically related to, get treated than other kids in her life that are not. So it's a really weird, it's just a weird situation. Okay. And someday I'll get my husband on here and we'll spiel the whole spiel, because it's a lot. It's a lot. And none of it makes sense. And he does his thing where he justifies things. And I give him the space to do that because I don't force healing on anyone. And then I do my thing where I just sit back and I have an awareness where I can say, he's right. He's right. This is us. It's been us from the beginning. It has been just us. And we have done just fine. And we're going to continue to do great, because 90% of our lives, it's just us. It's just us. I can sit in that awareness and I can know, not only because of mushrooms, but because I have that relationship with God and I have that faith to know everything always works out for me. Plus, I'm not going to be a fucking victim. So I speak my peace to my husband right now in this moment. I can speak my truth. I want you guys to learn to communicate your truth. And it doesn't have to be hateful, hurtful. I would never do that. That's not how I started the conversation with my mom. It was not hateful. It was not hurtful. It was literally just me speaking my truth. You can do this and be kind. You don't have to be a dick. Now, my Facebook post yet today about the Mother's Day stuff might seem a little harsh. And kind of, there was just so many people every year. I feel like I need to be like this, you know, Mother's Day spokesperson just to wake you all the fuck up. You can't be a victim. And you can't keep creating this story in your mind where you are the victim, where you feel so sorry with yourself, you can't even see outside of the situation. You can't control what other people do or don't do. What did you do for yourself on Mother's Day yesterday to celebrate you? What did you do? What did you do? I know what I did. I put on full glam. That was my thing. I love it. I love putting on the full glam. I love curling my hair. I did the things. I wanted time alone with my husband. I got that. I wanted to go watch a movie with my kids. I did. You know what else I wanted? A fucking nap. And you know what I did as soon as we got back from the movies? Passed the fuck out. No guilt, no like, oh, I should go spend time with the kids because they had, you know, they did this grand day for me. Like, nope, I needed a nap for me. I did that. I also took time just to look at all my kids in their own space and everything they were doing, just to have gratitude of like, man, they're really good kids. I celebrate that. I celebrate having a part in that. And it is a big part. They still have, you know, they still get to make their own choices and their own everything. But I have a part in what they do. And I'm very proud of it. I'm very proud of it. So celebrate you. Stop being a victim. You always use these excuses. And this is something that microdose does for people. Okay. What happens is we get into this default mode. So maybe you're like feeling bad, sorry for yourself on Mother's Day. And you're like, why is it like this every holiday, every year? You have ingrained programming. It's set. I was on that cycle, and I would watch the cycle. I can look back in my life now and play it like a little movie where there are certain times of the year I would fall into the same little rut. And I watch the cycle. I watch the cycle. I'm recognizing cycles literally at this moment in my life. I'm in one. I'm in a cycle. I see the awareness and I'm taking active steps to get outside of it. Okay. You have to learn to recognize the pattern. So it is a new awareness that I bring my mushrooms in. When I microdose now this week, it is a new awareness of a new pattern where I'm like, okay, I want to break this cycle. Okay. It's not like the one time you microdose, everything just changes in your brain. That's not necessarily what happens, but it is a great start. Okay. It does take just one time. Get started. It is your first day. Get started. You get to change your awareness and your journey as much or as little as you want. Okay. But what happens is when you microdose, it starts opening up new ways for your brain to communicate. Your brain and your heart and your body all communicate, okay? They all have this pathway set in their in your brain. They're set, ingrained for how many years, and you just have played into this programming. If you want to step outside of the programming, cool. Go spend 6 months with a therapist. After 6 months, if you do not feel that change in your programming, what else can a therapist fucking say to you? What else, if anything? Nothing. Words can only go so far. Talking about shit only goes so far. You need a physical aspect in your life, something to actually go inside of your brain and fucking decode the current programming. That's what you need, and that's what mushrooms do. It decodes the current programming that you have. Now you microdose for a whole year, and I'm going to show you somebody that you never thought you could be. A whole year. Right? Following my program where we do 4 days on, 3 days off, we take 2 weeks off in the middle. There's a step to that. And I'll coach you on that wherever you get your mushrooms. If you do not have proper coaching, I want you to message me. Okay. BrandonLynette.com. Sign up so you can message me. You need something to come in there and physically change the coding, to change where the communication is happening. Okay. To rewire the receptors in your mind so you can have a new way of thinking. You stop becoming reactive. You stop sinking into depression. You stop living your life as a victim. You start feeling connected to the world around you. You start, it's easy to see. And that's why it's easy for me to understand when my husband said, hey, just leave it right now. Just for right now, just leave it. This is about us. It's our life. They have nothing to do with our life. Let's leave it. I see that awareness because I could see where people are disconnected. And I could see where people are connected. I see it physically with my eyes now. I can walk through the street and I could see, wow, that person is really solely connected in who they are. They're connected to the universe, they're connected to the ground. And then I could see someone else off floating. They're still standing on the sidewalk, but I see them. I see their aura. I see them off. They're disconnected. They have no idea what the fuck they're doing. And so many of you listening right now are fucking disconnected. I feel it. You're floating in the nothingness. Don't you want to feel tethered to something? Don't you want to feel solid again? Don't you want to feel supported and held and loved? Don't say no, because that's what we all want. We all want to feel loved and held supported. That's why you feel like a victim on Mother's Day, because you're not feeling loved and held supported, but you're putting that expectation into the people around you. These people aren't going to change it for you. Stop putting your expectation into other humans. No, ma'am. You, the power is all in you. You are the power. You are the magic. It's time to start feeling connected. And that is my shout out for Microdose Monday, because mushrooms do that 100%. They help you feel connected. They have brought me closer to my awareness of who God is and how he lives in my body, how we share DNA. We are powerful creators. It is in your DNA. God is in your DNA 100%. If that's not powerful enough for you to start making some moves in your life, I don't know what would be. I don't know. I guess what is the point? If you're not going to live, what is the point? Why are you here? Just to cruise around in a meat suit and feel sorry for yourself and be sick and tired of being sick and tired and never have anything work out for you and just try to hope that people jump on and maybe someone will come do it for you? No, bitch, it will never happen. Never, ever, ever in the history of evers and nevers of life and love and everything we're meant here to do, no one's going to do this for you. No one's going to fucking save you. So get the fuck up already. Get up and handle your shit. If it's the therapist isn't doing it for you, if healing your trauma isn't doing it for you, then what do you have to lose trying to microdose? What the fuck do you have to lose? Okay. That's an honest question. Message me your answer. I want to know. BrandonLynette.com. sign up, reply, and just give me your answers. I want to know. Show me a different perspective because I'm an open person. I could see that. I want to see. Your antidepressants have numbed you long enough. Aren't you ready to actually feel, be human, and to be an active participant in what you chose to do when you came here? You chose this. You chose this because you knew you had a purpose. You just forgot what it was. It's time to wake the fuck up. Hit me up if you really are looking to start microdosing. I can point you in the right direction. I can get you started. I'm going to coach you through it. You're not doing it alone. And I can help you with those expectations because at first, part of the problem of our programming is that level of expectations. And we want that microwave mentality where we want things to happen right fucking now. It's not going to happen right fucking now. You're not going to wake up and all of a sudden have everything you've ever dreamed of. It doesn't work like that. It's a very subtle, loving experience. You just start to feel euphoric and you're like, why do I feel so good? Why am I feeling so good? And then you start to realize, wow, because I'm not obsessing over thoughts that used to wear me out. I'm not obsessing over bullshit things that didn't serve me. You just stop obsessing because your brain is starting to form new connections. And then you inspire that and you uphold it and you do whatever you can to lock that in. So you start making better choices. What can I do to lock this in? Because I feel really good. And our whole purpose is to feel good. You want to feel good. Let's feel good. Let's make the choices that make us feel good. I love you, bitch. Have a great week.